Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our winter membership drive this week. More about that in a minute. And what is better than a piping hot bowl of homemade soup at such times? And what better guest to talk about that than Lynn Alley? Comfort food has long been cookbook author Lynn Alley's stock in trade. So her newest book, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker, fits right into her growing repertoire for the slow cooker devotee. Lynn has written 5 cookbooks, 3 of them on slow cooking. She writes articles on food and wine for a variety of publications and has taught cooking classes in the United States and the south of France. Her tastes span the globe, so her efforts fit right into Central Ohio's collective palate. She joins us again from her home in California today. Welcome, Lynn.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And as I said earlier, this is our winter membership drive. Please go. Please show your support for All Sides. And for 89.7 NPR News, call 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour is $2,000, and we can meet this goal with your help. Call 1-866-897-9678. 897-9678 or visit WOSU.org and make your pledge right now. It takes just a few minutes. With a pledge of support at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you will be the cookbook 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. This is Lynn Alley's newest book, and we are offering it just in time for winter, such as it is, the perfect season for soup, such as it is. Call 1-866-897-9678. 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker by Lynn Alley is the perfect thank you gift for yourself or the busy chef in your life. The book is full of recipes for delicious soups from minestrone to spiced apple pie soup. At the $120 pledge level, you will learn how to make simple and sophisticated soups in your slow cooker. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And if you have any questions for Lynn Alley about cooking of any type, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We welcome your questions or comments for Lynn Alley. Lynn, all your books are beautiful. I've talked about it before, filled with all those mouthwatering photographs. But the size and construction of this book is different, and it's getting rave reviews as well. When I go online, it continues to get great reviews. I love this. Tell us about it.
You know what? I love it, too. It's kind of like having children, all of those books. And you're not supposed to have any favorites, but I really love this one. I had such fun doing it. Let's see, tell you about it.
It's spiral. It's a spiral format, so it's actually just functionally.
Open it flat on your kitchen counter. It's smaller than my other book, so it's really convenient for tucking in a purse. And I don't know. I mean, sometimes I go to friends' houses and we cook together. I don't know if anybody else does that. And you can tuck it in a purse. It's easy for gift giving. I love the little book. It's just a sweetheart of a book. And I love all of my recipes because they're so darn simple and satisfying. And soup is like that mostly, isn't it?
It is. You also spend quite a bit at the introduction of the book just talking about basic cooking techniques. And you started off talking about Easy on the Palate, the Planet, the Palate, and the Pocketbook. Why Easy on the Planet? Why are soups easy on the planet?
Well, this book is kind of unique in the sense that there's no meat used in it, but we didn't call it a vegetarian book. And I felt like I'm not sure why meat always has to be the default setting in American cookery, because for a lot of people it's not, especially these days. Pardon the pun. And, so I thought, you know, why not make it easy on the planet? Because we all know that eating lower on the food chain, eating from the plant-based foods, is healthier for the planet and the environment than is consuming large quantities of meat.
But you don't begrudge people if they want to throw in a little meat. A lot of these soups can take it.
Yeah, all of them can take it. I have one of the fun things for me about working on my cookbooks is that I get to share the food with all my neighbors. And there's usually a lineup of people with bowls in their hands.
I would like to live next door to you.
It's really fun. It's kind of like a community experiment. Everybody gives their feedback. Everybody gets some soup or whatever I'm making. And you know, my dear friend across the street, Kathy, always puts chicken, always adds, you know, maybe a little bit of fish or some shrimp in her soup as well. So there's no reason why you can't do that. But I'd like to have that option for people.
I'd like
people to understand that you can really develop a full-flavored soup if you wish to without the addition of meat.
And that's the palate part.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, most of us have kind of grown up with the idea that not only is meat the most substantial food that you can eat, but it's also one of the more, shall we say, serious flavor ingredients. But browning meat can form a great basis for a soup or a stew, mm-hmm. and that's true. But there are also techniques that you can use with vegetables that will give you a good, solid flavor base and some richness and some depth that you don't have to have a hunk of meat to do.
You wrote that when you taught cooking to middle school students many years ago, were you a home ec teacher?
I was. A long time ago, I was.
Back when they had such a thing.
Back when they had such a thing, and I'm so sorry they don't these days, because I had a lot of fun with those little guys. You know, I run into them today and find people who are still using recipes that they got in middle school. That was a lot of fun. That was a heck of a lot of fun, and I learned a lot about taste and about simplifying cooking techniques in the course of working with them.
It must have been fun having you as a teacher, because you wrote that you talked about, with the students about how meats basically have one color theme and not a lot of variation in texture, and compared it to the plant kingdom. I don't remember ever getting a chat like that from a teacher in home ec.
I was a fun teacher. I remember the best compliment. I may have mentioned this to you before, but my favorite compliment from any of my students was the day when somebody wrote, "We love you, Miss Allie, because you're one of us. You're a, what did they say? You're a kid stuck inside of a grown-up body."
What a great compliment.
That was a great compliment.
614-292-8513. That's the number to call if you have a question or comment for my guest this hour, Lynn Allie, food and wine journalist, author, and her latest book we're talking about, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we have an email from Kristen. She says, "I'd like to know ideas for crock pot oatmeal. I've been making it in a small crock pot. It sticks to the sides and makes it hard to clean. Also, how long does it last in the fridge?"
Wow. Sticks to the sides. Okay. I'm going to make a guess. I wish that we... This was an email?
Yes.
Did she email you?
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to guess that maybe she's cooking it on high. That makes me think that possibly that would make it stick to the sides. Generally, my recommendation for cooking oatmeal or almost any kind of grain cereal that you want to have for breakfast is to put it in a pot the night before and just keep it on low with lots of liquid in there. I've never had it stick to the sides of a pot. Now, you can always oil the sides of the pot, but I don't think that should be necessary. I think a good low heat overnight, or even a warm heat overnight that you turn up in the morning, mm-hmm. probably would work, and I don't think you'd get the problem of sticking to the side. How long would it keep in the refrigerator? Well, it depends on how fussy you are about your oatmeal. For me, I like it fresh, or in a pinch, I'll eat day-old hot cereal. I'll just heat it up again in the microwave. But beyond that, I don't think I'd want to keep it much longer.
If you want to email Lynn Allie and talk to her via email, the address is allsides@wosu.org. I want to say thanks to Steve in Columbus. We have about $1,900 to go in this hour. Show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher. We do lots of cooking shows across during the year. I love talking to cookbook authors. It's about so much more than just recipes. It's about lifestyle, and we try to spend quite a bit of time on the show on that sort of thing. If it's something that you enjoy, this is your opportunity to sort of vote and show your support for All Sides, show your support for 89.7 NPR News. This hour, our gift to you at the $120 pledge level, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker by Lynn Allie. She's my guest this hour. This book includes 50 soup recipes that are flavorful and hearty. The book has a great introduction that will teach you about using a slow cooker and has tips on freezing soups, too. The cookbook is hardcover. As we mentioned earlier, it has a spiral binding that allows it to lay flat on your kitchen counter as you follow along with the recipes. But the spirals don't show through. There's they're covered, so it's not like the spirals are open. Learn how to make garnet yam soup with coconut cream and eggplant soup with cumin, yogurt, and dill, and many, many more. There's also classics like French onion soup and cream of tomato soup, and there's always the Swedish rhubarb raspberry soup, which I don't think would go well with meat, Lynn Alley, and the Mexican tomato.
We wouldn't want to be putting beef in the Swedish raspberry soup now, would we?
No, we would not. There's an exception to every rule.
But it would be a good soup for you when you're getting up into the higher temperatures of 57 degrees.
Right.
You could have a cold rhubarb soup.
Yeah, we need to go through some cold soups before the hour's up just to suit us that way. Lynn's joined us here today to help answer your questions about cooking, but you can have her new cookbook and learn much more. And you will be supporting 89.7 NPR News with your pledge today. The thank you gift is an added bonus to being a member of this public radio station. Go to WOSU.org and select 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker at the $120 pledge level, or pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 and talk to our volunteers or visit WOSU.org. And as always, give what you can afford. We appreciate any vote of confidence during our membership drive. 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call and talk with Lynn Alley. We're talking about slow cooker soups. You know, let's talk about some of your tricks you've used to infuse soups with rich flavors without meat.
Okay. Would you like me to tell you some of them?
Yeah, there's one. I want to talk about, you can use the immersion blender as one way, right?
Well, that's not really a flavor thing.
Okay,
actually.
I see. Okay.
That's really blending.
All right.
Let's go to flavor. Here is the simplest thing you can do no matter what kind of a slow cooker you have. I like when I'm going to, let's suppose I were going to make a potato and onion soup. That was the base for my soup. One thing I love to do is take the potatoes and the onions, cut them up, put them in the slow cooker with maybe just an itsy bitsy bit of water or oil or even oil and butter, and then cook them on high for an hour or two all by themselves. So that they get sort of the onions begin to caramelize and we start seeing some brown stuff in there changes from the heat, the kinds of things that you might see if on the top of the stove you were browning stuff in a saute pan.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that in the slow cooker. You can start out that way without a lot of water. Get some flavors developing and then have the water after, or the liquid, whatever kind of liquid you're using, after a couple of hours. If you add the water at the beginning, you're not going to develop any of those brown flavors.
It'll steam, won't it?
It'll steam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll boil. It'll steam, yeah. So that's one of the things I really love to do is take some basic, hearty ingredients, put them in the slow cooker first with some oil or, you know, whatever you're using, maybe a little bit of liquid, and let them do in their own juices for a couple of hours until they begin to kind of change and thicken and fall apart and that sort of thing. That's a start.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's suppose that you're a high-end cook and you've gone out and bought one of those fancy slow cookers that have an insert that can go right on the stovetop as well as into the slow cooker. Now, I am familiar with one brand. Should I mention it or can I mention it?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah, right.
All-Clad. I use an All-Clad. And there may be others on the market, too, that I don't know about. But I use an All-Clad slow cooker with an energized aluminum insert that can be put right on the stovetop. That's really convenient. You can take your onions or if you're using meat, you can take meat, put it in the slow cooker insert, stick it on top of the stove, turn it on a medium heat, let it brown, you know, conventionally.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you've got your nice browning, take the insert and stick it into the slow cooker. And there you've used one pot. That's a real convenience to me. And the only thing you have to be careful of is I have found that if you repeatedly use a higher heat on the stovetop, eventually the the lining, the nonstick lining of the slow cooker is going to begin to bubble. So you've got to watch your temperatures, but I find that a great convenience. And that's a great way to add flavor without messing up a lot of pots in your kitchen.
Have you wrecked your slow cooker lining?
I did once.
Okay.
Did
one.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's too bad. I know what you love that thing.
And imagine me calling up the manufacturer saying, now look, you know, I'm a cookbook author. Don't be telling me what's supposed to happen and not supposed to happen.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I was comforted to find that I wasn't the only person who did that.
Well, yet another great tip from our guest, Lynn Alley, food and wine journalist, author. We're talking about 50 simple soups for the slow cooker. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513. We welcome them. Thanks to Julia in Columbus and Colleen in Delaware. We have $1,700 to go this hour. I know we can make it. Go to 1-866-897-9678 and make your pledge right now. That's 1-866-897-9678. Make the pledge, and then you can hunker down and listen to the rest of the show guilt-free. Email from Alex says, just a comment about meat. I can often find scraps and bones of beef or lamb or duck at a low price. I roast them in the oven, which puts a nice aroma in the house, and I simmer them with vegetables to make a soup stock. I strain the stock, chill it, and skim off any fat. Then it's ready to serve as the base for a finished soup. Sometimes it will turn to gelatin when chilled.
So, am I missing a question?
I don't know. I think it was just a comment. It was just a comment about meat and how they use it.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, if you've got the slow cooker, and depending on how many, you know, bones you've got, you might be able to use that technique of putting the stuff in the bottom of the slow cooker and turning it on high for maybe an hour or two and then just adding some water. You may not need to use the oven.
Oh, okay. Thanks to Judith in Worthington, we have $1,500 to go this hour. Thank you, Judith, so much for your show of support for All Sides with Ann Fisher for 89.7 NPR News. We really, really appreciate it. If you want to make that pledge right now, 1-866-897-9678. Just a little bit more about the book if you want to make your pledge at the $120 pledge level. Our gift to you, our thank you gift, is 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. Lynn's book has a great table of contents and a helpful index in the back. You always need a good index. That's what I like, because I like to just pick the ingredient that I have on hand that I want to use and go and find a good recipe for it. Lynn shares 50 all-new vegetarian and vegan soups in this book using fresh and simple ingredients. These soups are easy to make, easy on the planet, and easy on the pocketbook. We were just talking about that. 1-866-897-9678. Your call right now to 1-866-897-9678 makes you an instant member of WOSU. You make one phone call and you have done your part for the entire year. You can also do your part online at our secure server at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Pick up 50 simple soups for the slow cooker at the $120 pledge level to WOSU. Remember, you can see a picture of the book in a description at WOSU.org. If you're wondering, go check it out there. If you want to see some reviews of it, you can go online and check those out. People love it. You can learn how to make some great vegetarian and vegan soups, like I said before, that are hearty and flavorful. So it's more than just recipes. There's also a lot of technique involved in the book, and Lynn shares it all with you. Lynn, you open the book with reference to the Stone Soup folktale. And it always makes me wonder, you know, because it exemplifies the simplicity of soup making. So what about tweaking your recipes with what's on hand? How do you feel about that?
You mean about Stone Soup?
Well, about
from
the idea of, yeah, from, yeah, whatever, yeah, from
you
your own
what?
Refrigerator.
I just love it. I mean, that's one of the things that I love about A, soups, and B, the slow cooker. I've told the story many times about my experience rediscovering the slow cooker, and that was maybe around 2000-2001. I spent several months on a farm in Davis, California. I was working on a biography, and there was nothing. I was staying in a a modular, you know, a little sort of like mobile home on the property.
Uh-huh.
And there was nothing in the kitchen except a vintage 1970s slow cooker and a rickety old frying pan. And outside the door was a small herb garden. So what I did was go to the co-op in Davis and buy some of every single kind of bean that they had. And I brought them home. And each day I would put a different kind of bean in the slow cooker. So it would be just basically beans and water and really good salt. And when they were finished cooking, I'd go outside and choose an herb to go into the soup. And I really loved, and if I happened to come across anything like from dinner, last night's dinner, that was left over from a restaurant, I'd throw it in. And I really loved cooking that way. That was sort of like my rediscovery of slow cooking. And my first book, The Gourmet Slow Cooker, was one of the first books to come out as slow cooking as a technique began to catch fire once again.
You mentioned really great salt, and that is one of your ways to bump up the flavor is with salt, but not just any old salt. You mentioned some other.
There's a big difference. Table salt, you know, the kind that comes in the blue box, whose name I will not mention, but, you know, the table salts that come in the blue box have been sanitized, and they have also usually had some kind of additives like anti-caking agents and other ingredients added to them, so that the taste is often considerably less interesting than if you go to a specialty store or buy a specialty salt online that still has a lot of its heart and soul in it. I like to use Himalayan pink salt. I use gray French sea salt sometimes. I've got kind of a little collection of salt. I've got a smoked salt that I bought in bulk that they smoke over, like, you know, hickory fire or something like that. So to me, salt can add flavor as well as the salty taste. And the salty taste itself, as we all know, there's a great difference between an unsalted soup and one with plenty of salt in it. That salt itself makes all of the other flavors in the soup kind of jump out at you.
You know, I wanted to talk about a couple of the recipes. One that really caught my eye, the creamy butternut squash, mushroom, prune, and rice soup. And what caught my eye, of course, about it was the addition of the prune. Where did you get that idea? And you know, what is it? It sounds wonderful, I guess. I haven't tried it myself yet, though.
Strangely enough, in the neighborhood, in the judges of my neighborhood, somebody actually came and told me that that was their favorite soup. And there's a lovely juxtaposition of savory and sweet in that soup. That's a flavor combination that is, you know, often appealing across the board. And it really works well in this soup. And I had gotten the idea, I think, because at some point I had been given at a dinner party a skewer with sweet potatoes and prunes on it, grilled on the barbecue.
Which sounds really good, by the way.
It was fabulous. So I thought, well, heck, why not try this? And it actually works very well.
So what do the prunes look like after slow cooking them?
Well, they get pretty mushy.
Yeah, but you can still see them. I mean, they're coarsely chopped for the recipe, but you can.
Yeah, so what you get is these little bits of sweetness. Now, if you wanted to, you could wait a while before adding the prunes. You don't have to add them from the beginning. Mm-hmm.
And then the herb is tarragon.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds wonderful.
It's not often used in the American repertoire, is it?
No.
I've had some wonderful experiences with tarragon. French people use it a lot in cooking. Georgians use it a lot in cooking. I don't mean the state of Georgia. I mean the country of Georgia. I've had a lamb stew from Georgia seasoned with tarragon. That was fascinating.
Oh, yummy.
So it's It's an herb that I like a lot. I love the sort of licorice-y flavor to it, and it's new to most Americans. I'm working on an herb cookbook right now, and their tarragon will certainly be in it. And, you know, again, it's an herb that I like to introduce more Americans to. It's fun to grow, and it's got a wonderful, unique flavor to it.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Our thank you gift to you this hour at the $120 level is 50 simple soups for the slow cooker. That's what we're talking about with author Lynn Alley. And it's the only time Lynn Alley is going to be joining us during the drive. So this is the time to get this great book as a thank you gift. Call right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org and make a pledge right now. It takes just a few minutes. I'm not kidding. It just takes a few minutes. Volunteers are standing by. Central Ohioans have come all the way to the Fawcett Center. They're just a few walls away from me, waiting and waiting and waiting. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. That's 1-866-897-9678 if you want to talk to a real live Central Ohioan who would love to talk to you about whatever you can afford to show your support for WOSU 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. You know, folks, at the $60 pledge level, you can also get our member card. It's good at more than 2,000 restaurants. I'm sorry, 200. Thank you, Amy. 200 restaurants and area attractions, all kinds of discounts and two for ones and that sort of thing. You got to check it out to enjoy it. I've used mine several times, and it's just a great deal. We had a guy call in last week and said he used it to get two for one for symphony tickets. How cool is that? You have to call, though. 1-866-897-9678 and make the pledge at the $60 level. It's just you're an automatic member, you're a card-carrying member, and anything above that, you can get the membership card at the $120 level right now. Our thank you gift to you is the 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. I don't mind asking you for this because we're proud of the product that we provide to you at 89.7 NPR News, but it's not free. We have to pay for it, and it's not cheap. There's a lot of talented people here who are working very hard to give you the kind of programming you've come to enjoy, you've come to depend on. And if you're actually listening, as Ira Glass will tell you, you're an addict. So
I'm an addict.
Yeah, I'm an addict. I've been an addict for a long time.
I'm an addict. I don't, you know, this is the only station I listen to. My car radio is set.
Right. I mean, and I'm one of those people who used to listen and for some no good reason would sit there angst-ridden through an entire pledge drive. And finally, I would call in and I would think, gosh, why didn't I just do that?
Yeah.
You know, 3 days ago. But, you know, everyone in their own time, it's like fine wine. If it's time for you to make that call, then pick up the phone right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. We appreciate anything you can afford to pledge at this, our winter membership drive. My guest, once again, Lynn Alley, food and wine journalist, author, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. If you have a question or comment for Lynn, we've gotten a few emails but no calls. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. I promise I won't badger you about making a pledge while you're on the air. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What is your favorite soup in the book, Lynn? What was the one that was the must, you must put that soup in the book?
Children again.
Oh, children. Okay. Well, I'll tell you some of the ones.
What's my favorite? Okay, I'm going to give you some of my favorites.
Okay.
How about that?
All righty.
I like and had to put in enchilada soup.
Oh, yeah?
Has a lot of the ingredients of enchilada.
Is that the one with the cornbread crust? Or is that another one? Okay.
No, there's another good one. That's the black bean chili, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And that's delicious. And I've worked on that one for years. I love the spiced apple soup. It's very seasonal, I think, but I absolutely love that. And I love it with, like, cheddar chive biscuits. To me, that can be a main course, but I'm not a huge eater. let's see, what else do I really like that's in there? I like, you know what? I like the really simple soups. I like the Tuscan white bean soup. I love my minestrone. I love using, speaking of bumping up the flavor,
mm-hmm.
I love using Parmesan cheese rinds in soup. You throw those in the pot, you let them cook for a few hours, and they impart incredible flavor to a soup. And I don't even take them out and throw them out because the rind is really only hardened cheese. It gets pretty spongy after it's
It's kind of weird looking.
it gets kind of weird looking, but what I do is just chop it up, like, you know, into little squares and leave it in the soup. And it's delicious to get one of those sort of like Parmesan cheese rind lardons in your mouth.
Because it's edible. It's fine.
It's very edible. It's squishy. It's flavorful. And I like it.
I've used it because of your book. I started doing that, and you're absolutely right. I no longer throw my rinds out. It's a great. It makes me feel good because I'm always kind of scraping them right down to the, you know, the quick, if not my knuckles.
That way you could get hurt, Anne.
Right.
You would get hurt too.
You know whatever you have to do to get your cheese every day. Thanks to Walter in Columbus. If we get 10 more calls or web pledges, then we will meet our goal this hour. Just 10 more calls or clicks in 22 minutes. I know we can get 10 more calls. Be one of the 10. Be one of the 10.
We could get one huge one, too, maybe.
We could, and we'll take the one huge one and 9 others, too. We'll take...
That would be wonderful.
1-866-897-9678. If it's not emblazoned on your brain by now, make it, and then make the call. 1-866-897-9678. We have an email from Mary. A great suggestion I use is placing a frozen piece of meat, pot roast, into a slow cooker or roasting pan and let it go for a few hours. No need to defrost. The moisture in the meat is enough water. No need to add more. Thoughts?
Wait, you better read that again. She puts a frozen piece of meat in the slow cooker
and then just turn...
or in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does she do?
And lets it go, you know, cooks it for a few hours. No need to defrost. The moisture in the meat is enough water. No need to add more. Now, I would not risk doing that. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking of food safety. I'm thinking that if I were a food safety expert, I would be sitting here shaking my head and going...
Why? What would be unsafe about that?
Well, because of the internal temperature of the meat. You know, I could... Potential scenarios are that the outside of the roast looks beautiful and... is nice and cooked and tender, but way down in the depths of the center, it's still frozen or it's... So, you know, I'd be a little... I understand her doing that, and if she's conscientious and she leaves it in the slow cooker for a lot of hours, mm-hmm. then it's probably something that could work, but it makes me a little bit nervous, probably for the same reason it does you, that there's the potential there for some problems with the internal temperature of the meat.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's one that I love. New potato and parsley soup with olive tapenade.
Oh, it's good.
Yummy.
There's another favorite.
Mm-hmm. Where do you come up with these?
Well, you know, just from foods that I love. For instance, I mean, you know, think about this one. I love simplicity. Potatoes. Who doesn't love potatoes? Practically everybody in the world loves potatoes. Mm-hmm. Parsley, it's healthful, it's beautiful. And then the idea of tapenade, just that little bit of salty,
right.
bitterish, you know, stuff on the top of the soup. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any simpler than that. I really don't want to, I don't want to cook with a gazillion different exotic flavors most of the time.
You know, one of the ingredients is chopped fresh parsley. You're not explicit whether you want flat leaf parsley or the curly parsley. What's the difference between those two?
I don't like flat leaf parsley.
Okay.
So for me, it's always curly parsley.
Okay.
Maybe I should have put that in there. I know that many cooking authorities say, or sometimes call the flat leaf parsley gourmet parsley or the gourmet's parsley. I really love the fresh, very parsley-like
crunchy.
Flavor of,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the mouthfeel, that squiggly mouthfeel of the, you know, regular curled parsley, and I grow it in my backyard. Right now, I'm actually in the process of preparing my spring parsley patch and filling it with the shavings from the juicer, digging those into the soil so that the soil will be nice and rich when it comes time to plant the little parsley plant. Because I just can't get enough parsley. I love the stuff.
I always have parsley, too.
Huh?
I grow parsley. I grow both types in my garden all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
And do you have a preference?
It depends on what I'm cooking. I like to have both. I like to have both. But I was grocery shopping with my husband a couple of weeks ago, and I told him to get the flat parsley because that's what the recipe called for. Mm-hmm. And he came, and I didn't even notice. I didn't check on him. And when we got home and unloaded everything, I said, oh, you got the curly parsley. Well, I used it anyways. It was fine. It didn't really matter. But he said, is there a difference?
You,
I
was like, well, booby, you curly.
So, there's a difference, or they wouldn't say it. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. I want to thank Mary and Worthington. 9 more calls or web pledges to meet our goal. Just 9 more calls. Be one of the 9. Be one of the 9 right now to pick up the phone and make your call. This is our winter membership drive, and our goal today is simple: to get your pledge of support at 1-866-897-9678 or go online at WOSU.org. It may not seem like winter today, but it is. It's time for our winter membership drive, and in return for your pledge, we are offering you 50 simple soups for the slow cooker at the $120 pledge level. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker has beautiful, illustrative pictures of the soups you will create. The goal of this book is to teach you how to make sophisticated soup in a slow cooker, freeing you from hours of labor in the kitchen. Learn how to make French onion soup and potato cheese and asparagus soup and spring red plum soup. That's another yummy one. Also,
have you tried it yet?
No, I haven't, but I was actually reading about it, and I think I'm going to try it. We can get plums, so why not?
Yeah, it's incredible. And the reason I chose the red plums is they've got that wonderful sort of like tart skin. And to me, the tartness is important for the flavor of the soup.
Yeah, I actually, plums for some reason, as I've gotten older, they don't appeal to me because of that tartness. I'm not sure if it's the skin or what, but I still love that great flavor of them. And I'm thinking a soup might be the best way to enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Well, give it a try.
I'm going to.
Pleasantly surprised.
And also the one we were just talking about, new potato and parsley soup with olive tapenade. That's a great one. You can get all of those. Learn how to make all of those and many, many more. Pick up this thank you gift for a pledge at the $120 level. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to Belinda in Dublin. Just 8 more pledges to go. Whatever you can afford, I know we'll make our goal. Just 8 more pledges to go, and we have just about 15 minutes. I know we can do it. 1-866-897-9678. Be one of the 8 for our winter pledge drive. Show your support.
You want to keep Rick Steves on the air, don't you?
Pardon me?
You want to keep Rick Steves on the air.
We want to keep Rick Steves on the air. We want to keep everything. We don't want to lose anything.
Right.
Because, I was listening at, what is it, something like $1.53 that the federal government pitches in for each of us, which is fine. You know, we really appreciate that. But most of our income, most of the money that comes to our nonprofit organization is from our listeners. I mean, that's just the way it is, and it's the way it should be. I mean, but so far only about 10% usually contribute. So if we could.
Well, we need to kick in. I know I would be lost without my local PBS station.
And I love it when you go from town to town, you can just flip the switch, here, there, right around, and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So, but 89.7 is special. So show your support for your special public radio station, 89.7 NPR News. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, and it makes you an instant member of WOSU. You'll feel really, really good about it, almost as if you just had a great bowl of real cream of tomato soup, which is, by the way, in the book.
Ooh.
You know, and that's...
I love that.
It looks... I've never made tomato soup. I know, and I
It's really good. And, of course, it really helps if you do it in the summertime when you've got, you know, bushes in your backyard laden with tomatoes,
right,
or some of your neighbors do, it helps a whole lot. That's the only complaint I've had about this book to date. One of my friends said she made the cream of tomato soup and it didn't make enough.
Oh.
Yeah. She said, so, you know, maybe people would want to double that recipe. It worked perfectly for me, but Monique claims, no, she had to go get a can of tomatoes to stretch it farther because everybody wanted more.
So I'm wondering, is that the corner of a grilled cheese sandwich in the photograph?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, really.
I mean, who doesn't love cream of tomato soup with grilled cheese sandwiches?
Yep, there it is. Just
even Oprah eats them.
Yeah, everybody does. It's a national. I mean, you talk about hot dogs, but I think grilled cheese soup and grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup are the actual national meal. So, somebody out there wants to know how you make French onion soup without beef stock, and does it taste good vegetarian style? How do you do that? You do have a technique you use.
Yeah, well, you know, here's where once again we're looking at putting something in the crock and letting it cook without added liquid for a very long time. You can let your onions for French onion soup go in the crock for 8 to 10 hours unattended, just putting in perhaps a little bit of olive oil or a little bit of some kind of oil and some butter. And you know, letting it go for a long time, and it's during that extended cooking period of 8 to 10 hours that you find all sorts of richness and flavor developing in the onions and caramelization going on. So I love it.
Uh-huh. You know, and that's enough?
Well, for me, it certainly is. I find that you can coax a lot of flavor out of those onions. Whether or not it would satisfy, you know, that and good salt, and whether or not it would satisfy somebody who is a dyed-in-the-wool beef lover, I'm not completely sure. But one of my tests for just about all of these recipes is we have both meat eaters and non-meat eaters in my neighborhood, and I always consider it a real success when one of the soups goes to a meat eater and the meat eater says, God, this is really good. You know, then
right.
I know, aha, I have gotten somewhere. I have really created something.
Would this be a soup where you maybe would use the smoky salt?
I did. I was just going through my mind. Smoky salt, yes, I would use some smoky salt in this.
Yep. Okay, all right.
I would love that little, you know, there goes another flavor that blends so very nicely with a French onion soup.
Yum. And then, of course, the cheese and the baguette and the top and, you know, just to, you know, whip on another 500 calories, you know.
It's, I know.
Thanks to Colin and Powell, we have 7 more calls or web pledges. We're getting there one call at a time. I know we can do it. We have 9 or 10 minutes left. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. Just do it. You'll feel so much better afterwards. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make that pledge right now. 1-866. Thanks to Catherine in Westerville. We have 6 more calls or web pledges to meet our goal. Be one of the 6. Do it right now. 1-866-897-9678. I would rather be talking about cooking. Truly, I would rather be talking about cooking with Lynn Alley, our wonderful guest. She joins us for almost every pledge drive these days because we love talking with her. She's it takes a lot of time. And pardon me?
I love being on. I love talking with you. And I also love the feeling that I am supporting a very worthy cause, one that's close to my own heart.
And that's how Lynn Alley can do it. She can take her time out of her day, get up very early. Actually, when you're on at the 11 a.m. hour, when you do it that hour, then it's really early. But she's out on the West Coast. She gets up. She makes arrangements so she can be near a hard line, and we can talk to her clear and crisp and easy to understand. And that's her way of showing support for public media, for her public radio station, is by supporting our public radio station. Now it's time for you to step up and support your own public radio station. I said 6 more calls or web pledges to meet our goal. I know we can do it. We have just about 8 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to All Sides at WO. Well, that's my email address. Okay. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Our thank you gift to you at this hour, the $120 level, is 50 simple soups for the slow cooker. And
so,
this is, yeah,
Ann,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was going to say one thing that we haven't mentioned or discussed is the fact that, and it's on my mind these days, having overindulged greatly during the Christmas season.
I did.
I put on a few unwanted pounds.
What?
And I am now in the painful process of trying to shed some of them. But soup is a great way to do that. My refrigerator right now is full of soup, and I just keep cranking out more because it's very filling. I mean, you can make a soup without a whole heck of a lot of fat in it, and it's still very filling. And, you know, small cup of soup every few hours keeps mm-hmm. me going. And keeps me dropping those pounds. That and the bicycle are my constant companions these days.
That and boot camp. This is the only time Linnelli's going to be joining us during the drive, so this is the time to get this great book as your thank you gift. Call right now, 1-866-897-9678. There's something in this book for everyone, and actually, I think everyone would enjoy every single one of these soups. They're classic. A lot of them are just classics, updated, upgraded, changed to fit Linnelli's criteria, which are simply that it be vegetarian or vegan. Pick up one of those books for yourself or as a gift for the chef in your life. You can add meat to any of them. You can adapt them to your lifestyle as well for a pledge of just $120 to 89.7 NPR News. Or pledge $240 and get one for yourself and give one as a gift and double your commitment to 89.7 NPR News. Go online to our secure server at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And here's an idea we haven't brought up, Lynn, is wedding season is coming up. This is a way to think ahead if you're going to get somebody a crock pot, or even if you aren't and you know that they're getting a crock pot for their wedding or everybody. This is something, it's small enough. It's not super small. It's like 6 inches squared, I think, maybe 7 inches squared. You can fit it right inside the crock pot.
So here would be a super duper, sky is the limit, kind of like wedding stuffer. And that would be a nice high-end slow cooker. And believe me, I'm very happy also with the 2595 models.
Well, you used to be a devotee of those.
Those were all that I used mm-hmm. exclusively. But some of the high-end ones have some nice features. Mm-hmm. Get one. Stuff it full of some, you know, some fake grass or something like that. Stick in an immersion blender.
Oh, wow.
A copy of this slow cooker book or all of my slow cooker books, 4 of them, a set, and a wooden spoon. And
that's a super duper gift.
With a big bow on it. I would like that as a present.
I would too.
Yeah.
Thanks to Judith in Worthington, only 5 more calls or web pledges to meet our goal. Thank you, Judith. Just 5 more calls.
Thanks,
and we have 5 minutes to go. I know we can get 5 calls in 5 minutes. Be one of those 5 and help us meet our goal this hour is to keep us on track for our overall goal for the week. 1-866-897-9678. And by the way, if I haven't said thank you to the people who did their sustaining pledge, we needed 100 sustaining pledges before the pledge drive started last week. We got Sunday off from the pledge drive. Thanks to everybody who did that. If they were responding to my pleas on Facebook, we really, really appreciate that. 1-866-897-9678. If you're just joining us, I want to tell you a little bit about the book. It includes 50 soup recipes that are flavorful and hearty. They're beautiful. It's a beautiful book. It has a great introduction that talks about using a slow cooker and tips on freezing soups, too. It's a hardcover with a spiral binding, a covered spiral binding, so you don't see the spirals. That allows it to lay flat on your kitchen counter as you follow along with recipes. I'm usually like, what am I usually putting on a cookbook to hold it down? Something
oh, yeah.
like a jar of pickles or something. I'm usually doing that. This book lays nice and flat, and it's also easy to use when I'm doing the show. Learn how to make garnet yam soup with coconut cream and eggplant soup with cumin, yogurt, and dill, and all of your favorites. Thanks, Linda in Columbus. Four more calls or pledges to go in just about 4 minutes. We're keeping up with just about 1 minute per call, a call a minute, and it only takes a minute once you make that call. 1-866-897-9678. Be one of the four that helps us get to our goal this hour. 1-866-897-9678. Lynn's book has a great table of contents and a helpful index in the back. All of her books are beautiful, but this one's different. This one's a little bit smaller. It can fit into your purse. And I was thinking, Lynn, I've actually taken it to the grocery store with me. I can fit it in my purse, and then I don't have to worry about writing everything down. It's right there.
Oh,
and I can kind of like get ideas for a couple different soups and then make sure I get the ingredients I need.
Yeah.
So when I'm at work, I mean when I'm in the grocery store. 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to Ellen in Columbus. Thanks for being one of those four. Now we have three more calls or clicks to go. 1-866. We can do it. 1-866-897-9678. You can go to our secure web server at WOSU.org and make your pledge that way. You can also see a picture of the book and get a little more information on it if you want.
Soup Lovers for WOSU.
Right. Soup Lovers Unite for WOSU and 89.7 NPR News. If you love soup, you're going to love this book no matter what. And if you make the pledge at the $120 level or at the $240 level, as has been suggested, and get one for yourself and one for a friend, thanks to Nancy and Lancaster, two more pledges to go. Just two more pledges and 2 minutes. 1-866-897-9678. Here's a deal. I promise to have Lynn on, if she'll have us, without a pledge drive, interrupting our conversation. Why don't we do that sometime and then kind of as a payback to all the wonderful people who have pledged this hour.
We'll have a slow cooker day.
We'll have a relaxed conversation, take some calls.
Yeah.
No one called in today. I was surprised, but we did get some good emails. 1-866-897-9678. We have 1.5 minutes and two more calls or web pledges to go. Just two more. Be one of the two. Be one of the two right now. You're going to feel so much better. Whether you pledge at the $120 level and ask to receive our gift to you, the 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker by Lynn Alley, or you pledge less or more, whatever you do, make it now. Make the call now. 1-866-897-9678. We appreciate all your support, whatever you can afford. And thanks. Lynn Alley, thanks. We have to go, but I really appreciate it. Thanks. It's great talking to you again.
Pleasure, Anne, as always.
Lynn Alley, food and wine journalist, author of 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from the McCoy Center for the Arts, hosting the lecture What Race Is and What It Is Not, with Augustine Fuentes, professor of anthropology at Notre Dame, Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. Details at mccoycenter.org.